Today's program has been brought to you by Many Kitchens, the one-stop shop for all things foodie. Discover the best artisanal foods that America has to offer. Shop for more at manykitchens.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, you're listening to Eat Your Words on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and it's almost holiday season. It's coming right up, and I'm looking at my calendar for one and seeing a lot of holiday parties, dinners, potlucks, feasts of some kind or another, and I'm thinking I stand to eat a whole lot of really rich, very heavy foods. Because I just know that everyone's going to be looking to make the most traditional, comforting, classic foods, myself included. But my guest today argues that classic American foods can also be pretty light with a few adjustments. She has researched this topic very, very thoroughly. She is a Cooking Light contributor and author of the new cookbook, Cooking Light, Lighten Up America. It's Allison Fishman Trask. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for joining. So I know that you just came out with this cookbook, and I definitely want to talk about that. But you're also the host of the Yahoo show Blue Ribbon Foods. And, Blue Ribbon Hunter.
You got it.
And also, and you've been the host of a Lifetime show called Cook Yourself Thin, and you also have a book called You Can Trust a Skinny Cook. So definitely a kindred spirit. So, you know, congratulations. This is a really cool concept. I love how this book is all about you going around to find basically the most unlikely food to try to say is light, like Philly cheesesteak and stuff like that. I was impressed. I was surprised.
Well, you know, it happened by necessity. I was traveling the country for Blue Ribbon Hunter, going to food festivals or going to, you know, extremely unusual food venues or classic food venues. Like for the Philly cheesesteak, where do you go? You go down to Philly, to Pat's, to Gino's, you check them out. In the course of doing this for two years, and it's a weekly show, so every week I was going somewhere. Everyone would look at me and be like, oh my God, why aren't you a million pounds? And kind of look at me in some ways with empathy, like, how can you eat that? And in other ways, like, how can you eat that? How do you do that?
You mean like they wanted to know how you were actually eating it and staying the size you were? Or
exactly. Okay, how was I not ballooning to a gazillion pounds? Also, I live in not far from you, in Montclair, New Jersey, and I have a family here. I have a 12-year-old stepdaughter, and I just had twin boys 9 months ago. I have a husband, dog, all that kind of stuff.
Fun.
All those people, all those big mouths that need feeding.
Right.
And when you're feeding kids, not necessarily the 8-month-old, but the 12-year-old, you know, I tend to go to American classics. I tend to go to the stuffed shells and lasagna and chicken parm and all the classics I grew up eating and loving.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up in Rockville Center, Long Island.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Again, not too far from you. Yeah. But, those comfort foods, those casseroles, just yummy.
Yeah.
When you want to feed a kid, you want them to eat it. Like, that's your number one goal. Like, how do I get this to be something that, A, you'll eat, and, B, I'm going to eat too, because I'm not into doing two separate meals for kids and adults. No way, no how. So how do we meet in the middle, meaning something that's delicious enough that you're going to like it and something that's good for you so that I'll like it?
Absolutely. So how did you do it? I mean, how is this? Okay. So for me, for one, like ever since I was a little kid, I have such a soft spot for like a big pile of mashed potatoes and gravy. And, you know, once you, like, dive into that pool, you just, like, can't really get out and stop eating.
I love that.
So, you know, and that's coming up, Thanksgiving and all. And, you know, that's, like, just one of those cozy comfort foods. But, you know, potatoes, it's just like, oh.
How do you lighten them up? Well, for me, I do have a mashed potato dish in the book. And, I do have chicken parm and lasagna. All that, everything I mentioned is in the book with lightened up versions. How do I lighten up mashed potatoes? Well, you start with Yukon Golds. Yukon Golds, in my opinion, and they've come a long way, right? My mom, when she was mashing potatoes, she was mashing Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
Starchy, yeah. Not sweet. Of course, gummy if you overdo it. So what do you need? You need a ton of butter and a ton of cream to, like, make it edible, because otherwise you're eating...
Or taste like something. Yeah.
You're eating glue. You're eating paste. It's not delicious. But when you start with a Yukon Gold, that is not as starchy of a potato, right?
Okay.
So it's crumbly and sweet, which means you can add skim milk to it. You can even add chicken stock to it or vegetable stock to it if you want to go dairy-free. And it has the creamy texture already, not a starchy texture, a creamy texture. Also, Yukon Gold or those red skin new potatoes, they're so sweet.
Yeah, they have so flavor of their own, so you don't have to go and add a lot of butter, I guess.
Bingo. Right?
Yeah.
Bingo, exactly. By choosing the right potato for the job, you can do with a lot less, you know, fat in there to make it delicious.
I like it. I like that. Thank
you.
So you
can guess you can still have your mashed potatoes at Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah, also, I mean, why does it have to be so white and fluffy and Yukon Gold? I mean, Idaho-y, so.
Yeah, you don't need the quart of sour cream and heavy cream and butter. I still put a little bit of butter on my mashed potatoes, but I'll put it, you know, right on top where I can see it and know it's there and will enjoy it, as opposed to, you know, hiding a stick in there where nobody really knows what's going on. Now, something else, obviously, for the holidays, I have a couple of stuffings in the book as well. One of my favorites is a caramelized apple fennel... and yes,
that
sausage
sounds good.
Stuffing.
Okay.
Yeah, so we've got 3 cups of apples in there. Apples are going to be high in fiber, great sweetness, give you, you know, good mouthfeel, fennel, you know, obviously good for you, not very caloric, but great flavor, goes wonderfully with sausage. And a little bit of sausage that you'll crumble up in there. I'm not going to have big, huge chunks. I'm going to have nice little crumbles so they go throughout. So by adding apple and fennel, you're going to end up with a bigger portion of the stuffing with more flavors that aren't just butter and bread.
And I'm guessing that the apples will kind of look a little bit like the soggy bread stuffing in the end, but it won't be all that starch. It will just be like apples, sort of.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you're eating more like veggies instead.
Exactly. So I'm always hiding, not hiding, because I'm pretty upfront about it. I'm always using, you know, fruits and vegetables to bulk out a meal where they're contributing flavor. And portion size, and they're making your stuffing a better version of your stuffing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I totally forgot about stuffing, too, until just now. Like, it's one of the things I only think about, like, for 1 week of the year, and it's like, oh, my God, the stuffing, all right.
And you have it, and then you're like, oh, why'd I do that to myself?
Exactly. I don't know, we touched a little bit on this, but throughout your show, Blue Ribbon Hunter, you know, it's so funny that you see a lot of these, like, just really out over the top, you know, buttery, cheesy, casserole-y, bacon-wrapped foods as these favorite foods of each of the regions or the events that you're going to. And, you know, that's cool, you know, and, like, these foods obviously have a lot of history, but it almost seems like there's a lot of, like, bravado and that we, like, you know, kind of just wear these, like, really heavy foods very knowingly, like, on our sleeve.
It's a little gratuitous. I will tell you, when you say bacon wrapped and cheese dipped and all that, the first thing that comes to mind is the Iowa State Fair, which is famous for their butter sculptures and foods on a stick. And I did have double bacon wrapped deep-fried cheese dogs.
Okay.
You know, and of course you have the fried Twinkies, and yes, I ate fried butter. And those are silly, funny
I don't even know how things. That's possible, but I saw that picture of you eating a stick of fried butter on a stick. How does that stay as a
stick? You want to know? I'll tell you the deal. You take the butter. They take about half a stick of butter and freeze it.
Okay.
Then they dip it in a batter that's kind of like a cinnamon bun. And
ew.
Then they deep fry. Yeah, okay, that's going to be delicious. So then they deep fry that. So
it's almost like a corn dog thing.
It's a corn dog, but just kind of the way you'd put ice cream inside something and then batter it and fry it. It's the same thing. And then when you eat it, basically the butter drips out everywhere, and you're eating the cinnamon bun.
I feel full already.
You feel a little nauseous, too. I bet you want a Tums.
Yeah, I was trying to be nice about it.
that's not appealing. But that, I mean, that's one thing, and that's the classic, you know, summer state fair when it's all about excess. But most of the food events I went to were historical events. For example, I went to the Banana Split Festival in Wilmington, Ohio, the town where the banana split was invented. I went to a gumbo festival in New Iberia, Louisiana. So, of course, there's a gumbo in the book. But I went to, you know, a tamale festival in Indio, California. 150,000 people come out for, you know, dessert tamales, dinner tamales. They buy frozen tamales to stock their freezer for the holidays. There's a lot of wonderful food traditions that are being celebrated at these festivals. We would always say these festivals are the new town square.
Right. That's, I mean, that's so cool. And I just love hearing those, like, stories that, you know, people have these, like, really, really huge connections and pride in these different foods. But it's also kind of interesting going through this to find that a lot of these really, really traditional foods are not actually that heavy in theory. Like, for instance, barbecue. I mean, that's probably, like, the last thing anyone would say is light, but actually using, you know, these brisket cuts and you know, that was traditionally a cut that you had to slow roast forever until it was tender because it just didn't have that much fat.
So it's
just like a way of making that palatable and also flavorful.
And I have a pork shoulder, pulled pork and ribs in my book. And for me, what you want to do there, well, because I worked with Cooking Light on this book, it's the calories, it's the saturated fat, it's also the sodium. So things like ribs with the rib rub or pork shoulder, you got to pull it back on the sodium.
I see. Okay.
As well, because we wanted to keep to all of their, you know, really rigorous standards
sodium.
For health.
Okay. All right, got it.
Yeah. So I went to Memphis in May, Barbecue Fest down in Memphis in May, and sat there with the guys who were, you know, roasting whole hogs overnight and shoulders and ribs. And, you know, this is all in the book. The book has lots of sidebars and pages about these festivals and about, you know, culinary tips I picked up when I was there. But with something like a rib and a shoulder, you know, you want to taste the swine. You want to taste that delicious pork. And unfortunately, I think with barbecue, we do a lot of sloss slathering where the meat is a vehicle for consuming the sauce, which is, you know, sauces are good, but, you know, let's enjoy the flavor of the pig, too. So if cooked properly, you're going to enjoy that. So I found that with less sauce, less of that sweet, treacly sauce, and, you know, just using a simple rub, smoking it, enjoying the pork flavor, you can cut out a lot of the unnecessary calories.
True. And, hey, there's, like, as many ways to make barbecue X, Y, or Z as you want. So it's only just continuing the tradition rather than breaking from it, I think.
Yes, agreed.
So I want to get back. I want to get into more holiday foods and other fun highlights from the book. We're just going to have a quick little commercial interlude. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Made me feel so good inside. And
oh, babe, you really ought to know. You are listening to Lovin' Like This by the California Honey Drops on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
ManyKitchens.com, you can enjoy decadent caramel brownies, hand-picked teas, and fair trade coffee, oven-roasted chicken pot pies, and so much more. Whether you're planning a dinner party, sending a gift, or just want to try something new and delicious, Many Kitchens offers something for everyone. Help support small-batch producers while you discover the best in artisanal foods from across the nation at ManyKitchens.com. Many Kitchens, the one-stop shop for all things foodie.
Hey, hey, we're back on Eat Your Words with Allison Fishman Task, the author of Cooking Light, Lighten Up America, Favorite American Foods Made Guilt-Free, just out. Check it up for your Christmas and other holiday gifts. So we've got Allison on the line, and you know, we talked about a few different like specific examples of substitutions and tweaks to traditional foods that make them more healthy. But are there any like all-encompassing, you know, overarching tips that you might have?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I gave you one little tip before, which I feel so strongly about, which is whenever possible, add in vegetables and fruits to bulk out a meal. I think of pasta for that. You have something like, you know, you want a nice penne, maybe with rigatoni and broccoli rabe. Throw two bunches of broccoli rabe in there, some sausage, some tomato sauce. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always have to be penne alla vodka.
Or mac and cheese with something.
Exactly. You know, I've got like a cheesy potato bake. Everyone loves a casserole of cheesy potatoes. What's better than a casserole of cheesy potatoes? Cheesy potatoes with broccoli, because broccoli and cheddar go so well together. Let's just bulk it out. Get that, because you don't want a quarter cup of cheesy broccoli potatoes on your plate. That's like, wah, wah. So get the portion you want, but add to it. So I love that.
Add some color.
Add it. I don't in general like to focus on what you can't have.
Okay.
Have what you want and just add some good things to it.
Right.
Something else I like, you know, yes, you're going to have a little white sugar, you're going to have a little white flour, but just keep it in check. My household is not the kind of household that has pasta every week. We don't have bread all the time. In fact, my stepdaughter just announced it's official in sixth grade. No one has sandwiches.
You mean like white sugar, like from carbs, not like white. I thought you meant like sugar, like Domino sugar.
Oh, yeah. I mean like just white sugar and white flour.
If
you find yourself eating lots of breads, lots of pastas, I don't know, try to go a little bit without it. You know, try some other starches instead, like potatoes, like rice. Sometimes we just get into a culinary slump, and then you're like, gosh, I mean, obviously lots of people are playing gluten-free, and gluten-free is the way to go, but how about reducing the flour in your diet just by going with oatmeal in the morning instead of that English muffin, a creamy polenta, you know, with maple syrup. Again, I'm not saying no sugars, but just mix up the old habits. So try to keep white flour and white sugar in check.
Okay.
I like to use healthy, protein-rich ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
I love, you know, everyone likes to keep some edamame in the freezer as a snack. Hummus is great. I've just started feeding hummus to my babies. I find that I have protein definitely at breakfast. And you know what? Eggs get boring. I have no problem, you know, having a nice Mary's cracker or, you know, Wassa crisp bread or something like that, slathered with hummus, some cucumbers. That's something else. I like to try and eat vegetables at every meal, including breakfast.
Yeah.
You know, you're supposed to have 6 to 9 servings of fruit and vegetables a day. Well, that's a lot if you're, you know, condensing it into 2 meals. If you start with breakfast and knock out a couple servings, you're well on your way. So I think most of the game for me is getting in all the good stuff I'm supposed to eat, and if I can do that, sure, then have a treat at night. Have that little piece of chocolate before you go to bed or whatever you want. But have you had your 6 to 9 portions of fruits and vegetables? Do that first.
I see. Good way to like prioritize you know, those important things first.
Yeah.
So totally commending the fact that you did this and chose this recipe, but how do you stay like low white flour and also low, what was the other thing you said? I don't know, a protein, low fat protein, low sugar with something like Alabama cathead biscuits with sausage gravy.
Nice.
Your book.
Well,
it's a biscuit.
With something like that. Yeah, oh, heck yeah.
How do you make a whole wheat biscuit? I don't know.
You're not. You're not making a whole wheat biscuit.
You're saying,
I'm going to have a biscuit that's the best darn biscuit. That's another thing. If you're going to bake a biscuit, that's where portion control comes in, right? If you are going to have those things, like I didn't say no white sugar and white flour. I said if you're going to have it, make sure it's the best damn biscuit you've ever made. Like, I think making a biscuit is such a... You want to be good at it. You want it to come out. You want to open it up, have that, like, you know, cloud of hot air mist that comes right to your nose and smells of buttermilk, and you're so, like, you just want to sort of rub your face in it. Like, you want it to be delicious, and you want everyone at that table waiting to have your biscuits to be like, oh, I can't wait to have the biscuits. Have the biscuits. Don't make it the size of your hand. You know what I mean?
And don't make, it not a special occasion, which is kind of what you're saying. Yeah.
I don't want you to make a Farro buttermilk biscuit, honey. No. Yeah. Make that white flour biscuit. I know what you're going for. You want to experiment with whole wheat flour? Sure, do it with your pancakes. Do something funky with your waffles. But biscuits, we all know the flavor you're going for. Go with it. That's when portion control comes in.
I see. So just one biscuit.
One biscuit, but if you look at the portion, look at that recipe in particular, it's not huge. In fact, I call it cathead biscuits, because when I learned about these in Alabama, that's what they call them there,
because
they're supposed to be the size of the cat's head.
I see.
Yeah. But okay. My biscuits are, they're not going to be the size of a quarter, but they're going to be a little bit smaller.
Like a silver dollar biscuit, perhaps.
There you go.
What was your favorite adventure that is recorded in a recipe in this book?
One of my favorite adventures was in Minnesota, mm-hmm. a state I love. It's so funny. I remember going to Minnesota, going to on the plane there, and someone's like, what makes you stop in a flyover state? And when I went to a restaurant or I was sitting at a bar, people were like, what are you doing in a flyover state? And I was like, why do you guys keep trying to keep us out
of Midwest?
Are you
insulting? Yeah.
You guys have a secret that you're trying to keep out of the East and West Coasters' understanding. Mm. So I was charmed. But anyway, the best festival I went to was the Eel Pout Festival in Walker, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
It's a festival on a frozen lake, and the recipe associated with it is mozzarella sticks, which is also a diner classic. But they had fried cheese curds, of course, Midwest,
right.
And they were squeaky and amazing and puffy and delicious. But this whole festival, 10,000 people basically came to this frozen lake. It was frozen 3 feet solid,
mm-hmm.
and they put up DJ booths and had basically ice fishing houses, and it was like Burning Man on a lake. And it was an ode to the eel pout. The eel pout
what?
Is a fish that's half fish, half eel. And you pull it up, out of a hole in the ice, and it immediately wraps around your hand. It's this enormous, ugly, prehistoric, dinosaur-looking thing. And, yes, they make eel pout nuggets out of it, but it's mostly a junk fish and gets in the way of you catching walleye and stuff like that when you're ice
fishing. Eel pat nuggets? What was that?
Eel pout, like a pouty kid. Eel pout.
What?
That was amazing. I went to Roadkill Festival.
Nice.
Yeah,
I was wondering when that was going to come up. Okay.
That was down in West Virginia. And, it's amazing. In this Marlinton, West Virginia, which is a one-stoplight county.
Okay.
So real rural there.
Yeah.
And everyone there hunts from, women and men. I remember speaking to a woman who was helping me with my hair and makeup, and she was like, oh, does your father hunt, your brother hunt? It's like, honey, I hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone
mm-hmm.
here hunts. Like, understand. So for them, roadkill, someone hits a deer, that they call it free meat.
Right.
And there's like, hey, I didn't have to spend the day hunting. That's free meat. Someone pick it up, dress it up, let's split this deer. So there's a lot of interesting foods that you can get into once you start going with roadkill.
This book is a lot more adventurous than I thought at first, but yeah. So much
fun.
Yeah,
American classics. But
yeah.
But it is true to America, right? Hunting is a big part of America.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So
Latino
it's like
cooking.
The fish fry that I see here and the chili jambalaya that I see here. It's all just it's all these favorite foods, really.
Yes, and I went to these festivals, right? I went to the chili cook-off in Mesquite, Nevada, and learned how, you're supposed to make the real chili. So my chili in this book is made with chunks of beef, no beans, very little vegetables. It's more, beef cooked in an intensely flavorful, spicy sauce, because that's, quote, the real way to do chili if you're on the chili competition circuit. So there's definitely lots of tips and tricks I learned from Blue Ribbon winning cooks.
Absolutely. And I love how you really pay homage to that in your sort of tweaked versions. And thank you for tweaking them, too, for the rest of us to try out soon. For instance, I really want to try out the dandelion stuffed pork loin. I'm really I'm really into dandelions, and I think that sounds like a great use for them, stuffing them inside this really kind of beautiful, very presentable pork loin roulade of some sort. So
yes, is definitely the dinner party item in the book. And I'll tell you, I made it and had it all rolled up and ready to go right before Hurricane Sandy. And then Hurricane Sandy came, wiped out my power for a couple weeks. So I was like, okay, let's just cook it on the grill. So we cooked it on the grill, had the neighbors over.
That's so funny.
And it worked out really well. But I learned that recipe from, that was the winning recipe at the Dandelion Festival in Akron, Ohio. And the woman who made it, you know, when she won, she just started crying. And she was like, I cook because I love people, and this is the way I show them my love, which might seem trite, but at the same time, it is the most depthful and interesting thing. Aww. And so that's the kind of recipe that's in here. It's like people's deep, deep passion and best effort to cook for their family and friends.
Oh, fantastic. And you know, hey, dandelions are really actually very, very healthy. So win-win there.
Absolutely.
Sure.
There's a dandelion soup in here as well if you're into that.
Ah, love it. Well, that's about all the time we have for today. But thank you so, so much for joining us. The book is called Cooking Light, Lighten Up America. And check out Allison Fishman Task at the Yahoo Blue Ribbon Hunter channel. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And I'll see you guys next week on Eat Your Words.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.